No exception for illness in the Constitution. They literally had a smallpox epidemic when the founders wrote it. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
The way we're going to win over the long term is not just militarily. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, and instead it looks like we got a lot of disorder.
And since then, we established a liberal world order, and there's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it, and we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
The Kate Daly Show, yeah, scary, right? Made you want to throw up? Yeah, I felt the same way, same reaction. Welcome to the show. Uncle Milty's out today. And of course, Chris Ann Hall joins me right now because it's Thursday. Our constitutional expert and attorney comes every Thursday, and I could not be more grateful. How are you?
I am very grateful to be here. Thank you.
Boy, do we have a lot to talk about, you and me. Okay, so I'm so glad.
Yeah, and 2024 is going to be a year of more of those things, too. This is going to be a wild and crazy ride. We are living in some amazing historical times.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I could not say that more. Yes. Let's first talk about the border. You had put something up that talked about governors, get on the ball and just start doing it. Start get together and start doing it. This is getting ridiculous at this point. So what's your, did you want to say something about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is this, we have to understand that the federal government not fulfilling its responsibility to secure the borders doesn't leave the states defenseless. As a matter of fact, the Constitution demands that the federal government actually protect the borders from invasion. But if the federal government refuses to acknowledge that we're being invaded, guess what? The 10th Amendment throws that authority back to the states. And so the states, especially, every state makes the governor of their state the commander-in-chief of the military of that state, and the governor has an obligation as the commander-in-chief of the state to defend its state from invasion. As a matter of fact, there's a constitutional clause in the Texas Constitution that specifically says the governor is the commander-in-chief and must protect the state from invasion.
So I guess we get to find out if the governors are just going to wench and whine or they're actually going worth their salt and actually going to do something.
Yeah, I mean, Abbott, I think it's Kim Paxton, has actually, they're kicking the feds out of Eagle Pass and several of these large border towns.
Good.
What will be the test for Texas is if the Supreme Court or some federal lower court before then tells Texas, sorry, you can't do that. That's a power reserved to the federal government, which, by the way, no power is reserved to the federal government. You'll never find that in the Constitution. The Constitution says powers are delegated to the federal government and reserved to the state. So no power is reserved to the federal government, but if a lower court or the Supreme Court declares that the securing of the border or lack thereof is reserved to the federal government, it'll be up to Paxton and the state of Texas to tell those courts to go fly a kite. Because in reality, the courts do not outrank the states. They simply don't. And James Madison, the father of the Constitution, you know, the dude who wrote it, actually wrote in 1800 that it was the states who have the ultimate authority over the application of the Constitution, even over the Supreme Court. So we have James Madison specifically saying the courts are beneath the authority of the state.
Oh, let's just hope. Let's just hope we can finally get something done, because both parties have worked together to not do something about it. So let's hope. Both parties. Horrifying. Anyway, let's talk about the Chevron. Let's talk about, you've got to bring this up, because I think this is fascinating.
Yeah, so in 1984, the Supreme Court held in a case that we refer to in precedent called the Chevron Doctrine, that the regulatory agencies, the executive agencies, have an authority and a latitude to create their own rules, regulations, and basically fill in any blanks left by Congress when they wrote certain pieces of legislation. For example, the Clean Air Act. Clean Air Water Act. The Supreme Court did not define what was a waterway, as if we need to know what that means. So what happened was the Supreme, the regulatory agency, not having a definition from Congress, said, okay, the EPA says we'll define that, and they define a waterway, a navigable waterway, as any body of water that is standing more than 90 days. Which turns out that, guess what? Your puddle in your pasture area that sits more than 90 days becomes a navigable waterway under the Clean Air and Water Act. So last year, the Supreme Court really tightened the noose around these regulatory agencies by saying, hey, you can't fill in blanks. Well, now we have a bunch of fishermen who are now suing the federal government over their application of more regulatory agencies and regulatory rules to excessive fines and punishments, even where these fishermen have to pay agencies, agents to be on their boats to monitor their fishing practices. And the agents are requiring these fishermen to pay them more to regulate their activity than they're actually paying their employees to be on the boat. And so what this will do, we believe the Supreme Court is going to put the nail in the coffin for Chevron. Now, you've got people like Jackson Brown and them that are freaking out, right?
No,
we can't end Chevron. We can't. This will kill our environment or blah, blah, blah. So, but we also have justices like Thomas and Gorsuch that have said, we're ready for Chevron to die. We are looking at an unprecedented time when we could possibly see one of the worst cases ever endorsed by the Supreme Court die. This will drastically and severely take away agency authority and reduce regulatory power in the greatest way we've seen in decades.
Oh, that's amazing. Because it has nothing to do with representative government. It's completely, they're completely on their own. And how apt that it was 1984, by the way. But
I just thought about that, too. No, and that's what Gorsuch said in this opinion they issued last year was, look, you've basically got an agency full of bureaucrats that are taxing without representation, that are regulating without restriction.
Doing whatever they want to do. And
whatever they want to do.
Yep. And we've been
so hurt. Our elected bureaucrats.
Jeez. So this will be interesting. So you think it will finally die, even though
Well, I hope so. so.
Okay.
And the sad thing is that it will actually, I believe, rest on Amy Comey Barrett, who, by the way, is a big government precedent following justice.
Mm.
She's not a conservative. She's not even a religious conservative when it comes to challenging anything that the court has said before.
You really nailed that one, by the way. You really nailed that one. When everybody was singing her praises, you were like, not so fast. And you nailed it. You were totally right. Yeah.
Well, but I'm not a prophet or a soothsayer. It was just a matter of looking at her voting record.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm just glad that you came out early and just said, watch it. You know what I mean? She was given a lot of praise and everybody was singing and dancing and you were like, not so fast. Also, I just wanted to mention this. There's a law that's going to be floated in my state where they're saying, the FBI, these federal agencies actually have to go to a county sheriff with a written ask to be able to do things to the citizenry of that county. What is your position on that?
Well, first we have to understand that that's already the standard.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we know that's already the standard is because all these federal agencies trick our sheriffs into signing a document that we call a mutual jurisdiction document, which gives the feds permission to come into the county without asking permission from the sheriff every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So the standard is that they have to constitutionally, legally do that. Now, they don't because either A, the sheriffs don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that they're supposed to. Or B, they've been lied to and they think that the federal government is the superior government and they have no say. So the law could be good or it could be bad. It could be good if it just says in any and all circumstances and a sheriff can't waive this with a mutual jurisdiction agreement.
Mm.
It could be bad if, like you said, it says
parcels out.
They must for A, B, or C,
mm-hmm.
which means they don't have to for,
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think there's a lot of danger to that because, like you said, it's already a thing. Please go to libertyfirstsociety.com and support Chris Ann Hall, our constitutional expert and attorney. Is she not amazing? She's amazing. Thank you so much, Chris Ann. You're awesome.
Thank you.
What can I say?
Bye.
Thank you. All right, be right back. Kate Daly Show.
There you go.
Hey, America. How tired are you of mainstream corporate media's biased narratives and manipulated news? Their dishonesty and attempts to influence this generation have been exposed, put on display for anyone who's even half paying attention. But the New American Magazine has been an honest source of news and commentary for over 50 years. This is your opportunity to receive the stalwart of principled journalism at a deep discount. Picture a beautifully published magazine arriving at your doorstep twice a month, packed with insightful stories written with integrity. It's also available digitally on the New American's mobile app. Get up to speed with intelligent coverage from a freedom perspective. Right now, for a limited time, the New American is available to radio listeners at a 25% discount on a new subscription. Visit thenewamerican.com/radio25 and receive 25% off. Subscribe today at thenewamerican.com/radio25.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show, big thank you. Big thank you to Chris Ann Hall. Isn't she great? She's fantastic. And I'm going to take your calls. Milty's out. I have a guest in the next hour talking about his time in the CIA. So we'll get to hear some things about that. And also a couple of things that are very, very important to keep your eyeballs on right now. First off, I just wanted to mention over at Birch Gold, they just came out with a new article about this. And it was talking about, well, the Davos elites use your money to survive economic collapse. And they had some really good, strong points in this. And so they were talking about the fact that the global economy will, and this is basically coming from World Bank, right, will slow in 2024 for a third straight year and appears headed for its weakest half decade since the early 1990s. And of course, in their annual forecast and in the long run, slowing growth is a problem for advanced economies and middle income countries alike. Of course it is. We've learned this, right? Please text Birch Gold 989898. That's the phone number. Just six digits and they repeat. How easy is that? 989898. Text my name, Kate. Get the free information. Know what to do with your money. Okay? Get it backed by gold. You've got a little window. Take advantage. I want to play for you this clip. Okay? Now, when the head of the WHO, the WHO, that horrible, corrupt organization, is talking and he says the word disease, he says desis or whatever. Everybody else, even if they don't know English, can get this word right, but this guy can't. So whenever he says disease or some, whatever he says, it's disease. Just so you guys know, he's talking about disease X. And I just wanted to have you listen to this clip that's very, very telling.
If I may... Although COVID came immediately, we were preparing for COVID-like disease.
Dizzes. Okay, it's disease. We were, even though COVID came immediately, we were preparing for COVID.
We were preparing for COVID-like disease.
Wow, did they have a crystal ball? Hmm.
You may even call COVID as the first disease X.
First, disease X. It's disease X, but whatever.
And it may happen again.
Really?
So disease X is a placeholder for...
for anything they want to conjure up.
Unknown. Disease.
Disease. Sorry.
I just wanted to start by clarifying that because there is already a lot of attention.
Ah, yeah. You got to clarify when you're about to do something extremely corrupt and built on deceit and a total lie. You've got to figure out how to do it, right? Because disease X is coming and disease X is going to be whatever they put their stamp on, whatever they conjure up. And I have a feeling it's just going to be a name. It's just going to be something that they give a name to, just like they did COVID, because it can encompass all 98 symptoms. So you never actually have to prove that it's there. They still have never really given a sample of COVID. And they've often said because they don't know, they can't prove it. They can't actually hand you a sample of COVID. Huh. Disease X. One more time. Here we go. In its entirety.
If I may, although... COVID came immediately, we were preparing for COVID-like disease. You may even call COVID as the first disease X. And it may happen again.
Huh.
Really? So disease X is a placeholder for unknown disease. I just wanted to start by clarifying that because there is already a lot.
So how can they say that? They know it's coming. Bill Gates told you it was coming because disease X, they did that in 2019, just in time for COVID-19. Kind of amazing. So when they did that, okay, they built it on the virus lie because they're just sure that everybody's going to be contagious and they're just sure you're going to get whatever they're going to sell you next time. They're just sure. How are they so sure? Right? Because they're going to control it, manage it, and manufacture it. That's why. All built on the whole virus lie. All built on the contagion lie. Yep, it's a placeholder for whatever they decide to do to you in the name of a virus. That's the truth. Let's be real. You know I'm going to come right back. And I also have an article that's going to shed light on something that I've been saying on the show that's very controversial. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Self-reliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people, tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, the New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World, for just $19.95. A great stocking stuffer, available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I'm so happy you're listening in. Hitting over 25 mil. That feels really good, actually. Truth always wins. It doesn't matter how much you're censored. Truth wins. It's kind of fun. Anyway, I'll tell you what, we have a lot to talk about in this segment because we're going to talk about the election. I know I'm going to do it. But I want to present some information for you. A little bit about Michelle as well. Okay. Michelle O. Also, Balance of Nature. Make sure and get over to Balance of Nature and make sure and order that product. At least it's 31 fruits and vegetables going into your body, which is amazing. You need this. It's fantastic. Trust me on this one. You'll love this product. You'll feel it in about 10 days. Okay. Has a money back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose and everything to gain, like your health. That matters, right? Okay. So please go to balanceofnature.com, put in the code Kate. You'll get 35% off and free shipping. It's amazing. You'll love it. You even get a free health coach. And they also have a fiber drink that you should get too, because the fiber drink can stabilize sugar and it can help with sugar cravings. And especially right now, if you're trying to get through these New Year's resolutions, it can really, really help you. So I would absolutely get that drink, and it kind of fills you up. So it stops those cravings too. Tastes like apples. Anyways, I like it. So let me tell you about a couple of headlines. Okay. And yes, Dizzis X. They're going to use it again. They are. It's a placeholder. There's a reason they did that. In 2019. Gee, they never did that before. Just in time for COVID-19. So of course they're going to use it again, and they have to use it on the lie of virus. They have to. But all the doctors have been trained in virology now. So of course they eat it up. So, you know, it's always going to be the next virus. By the way, if things were that contagious, we would have never lasted as a human race. That's the truth. Think about it. Okay. So let's talk about the election for just a second here. First of all, what is the headline today? Let me bring this to your attention. Donald Trump suffers double polling blow. You just can't make this stuff up anymore. Okay, really? Biden tops Trump in latest poll. Do you believe that? Okay. Only 20% if convicted for Trump. Okay. The headline today, when they were putting this, I'm going to say into typeset. I know that's an old term, but when they were putting this headline on, okay, do you think even they were going, I can't believe we're about to say this headline? Do you think they're doing that? They have to be. So let me, okay, so what does this mean to me? By the way, Tucker Carlson, VP contender. Possible. I don't know. Anyway. Lots of headlines. And what is it mostly? Drama, 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 more drama. You have to create drama right now, because if you don't, it's very, very boring. Okay. And you don't keep people's eyeballs on it. Now, all of the drama is a complete and total lie. Okay. So let me give you this article, Davos 2024. Okay. Since this has come up, right? U.S. executives in Davos see a Trump victory in 2024 and no cause for concern. Let me say that again. This is CBS. No, NBC. NBC, both the same. CNBC. U.S. executives in Davos see a Trump victory in 2024. No cause for concern. Now, you might be going, wow, that's kind of a nice headline to see for those that are in sort of the camps, right, for president, okay? Everybody wants to get rid of King Dingaling, so that's no surprise. But, yeah, they're not very alarmed at seeing Trump win. Now, I've been saying over and over again, can anyone answer this question? Why is Trump running if he knows it's fixed? So far, no one can really answer that question because it leads to a much bigger rabbit hole, a much bigger, a much bigger eyeball on the world and what's going on with the elections. That's why. Now, you can comment on that. I'd love to hear from you and tell me the answer to that question. Why is Trump running? Because it's not a good business decision, even. Why is he running if he knows it's rigged? Why are any of them running if they know it's rigged? Why do we have the constant drama? And I mean constant drama. What just happened in Iowa? Big win, right? So what has to be the headline the next day? Well, it's got to be, oh, Trump is low in the polls. Because everyone's going to go, you know that's not true, okay? The majority of the country's behind Trump. But what I'm saying is it all the drama? Is it all played? Is the whole banana, is the whole entire election process, right? Just as Biden said, hey, he said it was completely rigged. He admitted it. So what say you? Okay. That's a hard concept for a lot of people. They don't want to think it's that bad. But in my gut of guts, I think that's exactly why this article came out. U.S. executives in Davos see a Trump victory in 2024. I do too. I actually see a Trump victory in 2024. But why am I feeling like that might not be a good thing? Now, for a lot of people, it's going to be a really good thing because it's the end of King Dingaling, which they've tried to make him look like a dingaling, okay? And they've succeeded because he is, okay? It's not hard. But we're going to become very complacent and we're going to get some things done through the administration that are going to be very difficult for this country. Because whoever sits at the White House isn't running the country. That's why. It doesn't matter who I say gets in that seat. The problem's going to be is that they're not running the country as much as we want to think they are. That's going to be our biggest hurdle to get over, is to get out of the tribe and get into a position where we go, I can see it now. The whole thing is completely fixed. The entire thing. That is going to be one of the hardest things, I think, for most people to fathom. Because it's gone. Whoever owns the White House is going to run that White House. We're going to hear some things that sound really good. We might even have a guy in, Trump, who actually does care about the country, which I believe, actually. I believe he actually loves the country. But what's going to happen under that? It's going to have a different face on it, but underneath it all, we're going to see the same things just keep getting bigger and bigger. The border, everything. We might see some cosmetic things happen, okay? But it's not going to be what we would imagine or wish for or think is going to happen. And we're going to get very complacent. That is my biggest worry. And I'm just being real here. And I know this is a hard stance to take. A hard stance to take because people have such a tough time hearing this. But I 100% think I'm right on this one. Okay? They were even talking about Michelle Oh squeezing her way back in. columnist warns on Fox News Michelle Obama could sneak into the 2024 race. Why do you think they're telling you that? I think it's very plausible. I think it's very plausible. And I think in this country, the way we've set things up, she might even reveal the truth about herself. And I know you know what I'm talking about. And there'll be a lot of people championing that move. Be very, very bad. But I actually think Trump will still win in 2024. I really do. And the U.S. executives coming out and saying that they're really okay with that. When did you ever see that before? When did you ever see a headline like that? They're prepping us. That's what they're doing. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Can you believe after all the recent violent protests, looting, and destruction, some communities are considering either defunding or abolishing the police? If you agree that now is the time when police protection is needed most, then it's time we stand up and support your local police and the communities they serve. Call 800-JBS-USA1 and request your free Support Your Local Police info packet. That's 800-JBS-USA1. And request your free Support Your Local Police info packet today.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
All right. I will take your calls. I know, phones are lighting up. I know you have comments, and I know you could totally disagree with me. It's okay. I'm up for it. That's why I do this. It's just what I just don't know how we can ignore that. When did you ever see headlines, okay, that said and talked about the fact that, oh, Jamie Dimon is totally fine with Trump. And by the way, criticism can hurt him. And he is thinking that it's a really good thing to see him back, okay? And U.S. bank executives want, you know, no problem if he's back in. Why do you think they're saying that to all of you? Why do you think they have headlines like this? Come on. When did you ever see that before? Let's take a caller. When I say let's us take a caller, it's just because I'm used to having Milty here. Okay, go right ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
Hey, Kate, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I totally agree with you. I think all the elections are completely fake. And I think the nail in the coffin for me was 2020, the debates between Biden and Trump, and Trump said something to the effect that basically he shut down the economy first, and that was a great idea. So
interesting. Yeah.
You know, the whole thing, in my opinion, I have respect for Trump. I think he does love the country. But unfortunately, as you said, I don't think the politicians run anything.
Yeah, I don't either. I really don't. I think it's all the think tanks. It's all the people that used to be in politics that are running things. And it's the Club of 300. It's a lot of people running things. But it definitely isn't who sits in the White House anymore. Hasn't been
right,
for a long time.
Right. And when I see what's going on in the country these days, I know deep down inside that there's no one looking out for us, and the only person that can look out for you is you.
Amen, brother.
Because one man isn't going to save anything.
Nope.
You know, unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But yeah, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I love your show.
You bet. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Right on the money. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, how are you? Okay, let's hear it.
Hey.
What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to comment on the CNBC article. I read that.
Yes.
You know, we can that's a tell or a clue.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's already baked in. And, you know, I would just preface, when the people demand a hero, they will provide one.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Another clue. It was all over. It was like that Sinclair Broadcasting parroting of all. Michelle said, "I am terrified about the 2024 election." You know, so she said that about a week or two ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of just a prediction. If you think about it, if whoever on the left won. Now, I don't think people are going to take it sitting down this time around. But for the most part, conservatives just go on about their business, live their life, and produce and raise their families and do things like that. But, I, you know, something I just see that they're building the Trump derangement syndrome to a point of just like where people will literally lose their minds and act out in mass.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, if they bring him into the presidency again, you know, I think that there'll be much more of a probability of, you know, just widespread civil unrest, you know. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah. No, but, I'm with you. I'm with you. Thank you.
What's your thought?
No, it's great insight. I think there's a lot of things. I think Christianity is going to be used against us. I think that we are building those roads right now and we don't realize it. I think that you have to make the Christian look crazy, but then there's also going to be, like you said, the lefty loony that's going to go crazy, right? So what is that? What does that result in? It results in more people being, let's say, taken out of society and incarcerated for their so-called mental state of politics. I think that's coming. And I think that, so there's always going to be these end results. It was like when we started talking about the truth in media, when Trump was in, what did we get? We got fact checkers. Okay. We never had that before. So as truth emerges, there's usually going to be a reason they're going to utilize that truth. And that, and it's not good for us in the end. And I just hope people can kind of really see what's going on with that bird's eye approach rather than getting into the tribes. We've got to get out of tribe mentality. It's killing us. It's killing our country and we don't realize it. So,
you know, you say that, Kate, and I just, it's something that's been on my mind. Okay. So right now is the time we should be spiritually working out, right?
Yeah.
So let's just pretend we've got a game coming up.
Right.
And whatever you've got to do, and I assume that the vast majority of your listeners are Christians, as I am, I know you are. So, I mean, we need to be digging into the Word and stuff like that. But at the end, and this is the hardest thing to do, I know this, and but Jesus's message, God's message, was love, 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 love. Love and communicate.
Yeah.
If we love and communicate other people, key things to communicate with them, because if we all get around our little campfires and we're all pointing at each other and looking at each other, we're going to eventually go at each other.
Yeah.
But if we really make a conscious effort to reach across, I think we can,
there you
we
go.
Can win.
Thank you. I love the phone call. Thank you so much.
I really
appreciate that. You know, it's an interesting stance to take, but it goes back to the question, why would Trump run if he knows it's rigged? There is no reason to go back into a race that's fixed. There's no reason for that. He's either being made to do that, threatened to do that, he's part of it. Who knows what the answer to that is? But if you can't complete that answer to that question, okay, then the whole tribal mentality falls apart because you can't answer that question. I even brought it up on InfoWars yesterday because it's a powerful question to ask. Why is he running? As a businessman, when it makes no sense, you have to take that information in, okay? So are we being played again through complacency and through hero worship? Could be. And this isn't a Trump bash. I actually would never bash the man because I actually really like him. That's the thing. That's where I'm probably very different. What do you have right now? Extremes. Right? He's either Satan or he's a hero. Okay. What about the in-between on this particular topic? What about the fact that you could actually like him, but still realize how you're being played and what's going on? And I 100% think we're being played by the election process. Why do you think they created the ridiculous drama that Biden is on top in the polls today? You know that isn't true. It's a complete and total deceitful lie. Okay. But our ability to be able to see both sides and how they don't build a wall and how they don't get rid of Obamacare and how they don't do anything, our ability to see through the game is what's hurting us as a country. We have to clean up and sharpen our skills to see what's before us and to see how they're playing all of this, or we lose the country. That's our problem. And if we don't get that right, we're losing time. They are going to occupy your time with drama after drama after drama concerning this election when they already know who's going to come in to the election. They already know. It's already fixed. It's already done. It's a done deal. It's a year's worth of drama. Are you going to play into it? That's our problem. That's our biggest problem right now, is not seeing it, I think. And I know I'm taking a chance by saying that, because I know people are not going to want to hear it. Doesn't matter. Truth is truth. Be right back. Kate Daly Show. I have a guest for you. Be right back.
The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Go to JBS.org and join us in restoring this great nation.
Breaking news. The feds have investigated themselves and cleared themselves of any wrongdoing. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
The way we're going to win over the long term is not just militarily. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, and instead it looks like we got a lot of disorder.
And since then, we established a liberal world order, and there's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it, and we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Welcome, Kate Daly Show, last hour, Thursday. Great guest tomorrow, too, by the way, and a guest in this hour. And I'll tell you what, that clip, did you see how uncomfortable? And I know he has a lot of comfort with the phrase, but spitting it out, Clinton, it was very odd phrasing, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, this phrase that I say sometimes to myself, that I repeat often. I mean, it was just very bizarre, right? But they're all telling you who they are. It's just a matter of, do you believe them? That's really what it comes down to. I mean, I can roll tape. There's no conspiracy here. I mean, very, very verbal on the whole New World Order thing. But it's very interesting how it's called a conspiracy. They're literally on tape telling you. I don't know how conspiratorial that could be. So is there no greater proof than them admitting it? I'm not quite sure. So our guest, in this hour, Milty is out today. And so we'll have him back on Monday. But Pedro Orta is with me. He brings 18 years experience as CIA veteran to a memoir that he just did that'll be out in about a month from now. And it's called The Broken Whistle. Welcome to the show, Pedro Orta.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
You bet. Thank you. And so you served some time in Iraq, Afghanistan, Middle East, other war zone locations, Office of Inspector General for the Intelligence Community. And then also this expose that you've written talks about the deep state, what you can talk about, and bent on destroying dissent and preserving its power. I do agree with that because they are very, very powerful, more so than we realize. Ever since about Nixon, it seems like their power is just tenfold increased. And then, of course, this book, The Broken Whistle. Let's go back to what happened in 2017. Then, of course, people found out who you were in 2020. Let's kind of talk about your journey with the CIA, and then what how you joined, why, and then, of course, then the coming out of what happened to you. working for the CIA. So initially, let's go back to that. What made you join? What got you into this? And then, of course, what were those 18 years like?
In simple terms, I've always enjoyed international relations, foreign politics, security issues, defense, intelligence. And I studied political science, and I had an opportunity to work for the CIA, and I immediately took the opportunity, and I went in as just any normal patriotic American willing to serve and do what is right for their country.
Mm-hmm.
And as I began to work in the CIA, I started as an analyst, eventually got out into the war zone, doing a lot of interagency work, getting involved in some operational work. Eventually, I got my operations certification. I did operational work, counterterrorism work, Iraq, Afghanistan. Spent a year in Afghanistan doing counterintelligence. I did kind of the full gamut of everything you can possibly do within analysis, operations, and so forth. And I found out ultimately that it's just basically a bureaucracy, and it's all about protecting the bureaucracy first and foremost, more so than actually U.S. national security. In the process of doing this kind of work, it all culminated with my deployment to Afghanistan in 2014 to serve as a deputy chief of base in a war zone. Our number one priority was to keep our personnel safe. And obviously we had certain mission demands. Well, it turns out that I was working for a very nice lady, but the lady was definitely in the wrong place at the wrong time. She basically couldn't handle the rigors of the war zone location, the dirt, the grind, the separation from family. And one thing led to another. Personnel were harassed because they were marginalized. At the same time, our lives were being put in danger because we were going out for yoga classes, for food. Basically, this was coast all over again. Coast was the bombing in 2009 where seven CIA officers, including the chief of base, were killed by a suicide bomber through faulty decision-making by, again, another woman in charge of the base, who was not qualified to be there. Now, I want to make very clear that I am not against women being in positions of authority, and I work with plenty of qualified women in war zones, in war zone positions, and in other facets of CIA operations where we're magnificent women that I actually call out and praise in my book. But I had to speak up about what happened in that base, and basically, they sent me back home, and it was just an avalanche of reprisals against me for daring to speak up and doing the right thing. And everything was lined up to protect her at all costs. Cover it up, and ultimately, it lands me in the Office of Inspector General for the Intelligence Community. And as I'm working in that office, I end up working on a team that we evaluate whistleblower protections in the intelligence community. And as I write in the book, we find out basically that although we got lots of paper saying that there are whistleblower protections, we really don't have whistleblower protections. You know, at the end of the day, patriotism, you know, serving your country to a degree doesn't matter because the bureaucracy is more important, and protecting the bureaucracy becomes basically what it takes to succeed in any of these government organizations. For me to have succeeded in the CIA, I would have had to basically been a yes man who would cover up any violations of law, anything that goes against the political agenda, like, for example, diversity, inclusion, equity, and so forth. And all these things.
She sounds like an inclusion hire. And I personally, even as a woman, would say this, that I don't think women are cut out for those types of jobs generally. I think our skill sets actually are probably work against us in those types of situations. So I can see how they would rally around an inclusion hire if that was the case. And I could see that you would get on a list for trying to showcase the fact that maybe somebody wasn't right for the job, wasn't good at that particular job, because our skill set, I don't think, works in our favor in this sort of genre. I really don't. And that's coming from a woman. So I actually agree that if somebody isn't capable or is putting people in harm's way, then they need to be outed. And it doesn't matter whether they're a woman or a man, they need to be outed, right?
I would imagine. Correct. Yeah. And at the same time, we get into organizational management, cultures, and so forth. And through the years, I saw how the culture changed. When I was in Iraq in 2004 to 2006, we had a man in a base who couldn't handle the indirect fire. And they basically moved him to another position where he could perform, do his job, and lead effectively. But fast forward 10 years later, now they had a woman who could not handle the indirect fire, and they keep her there and send me home.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Right, because you're outing the fact that this was probably an inclusion hire, and those are some of the worst ones. So, and they do you. It works against you. So when you finally started whistleblowing, and then in 2020 people kind of learned who you were, has it been difficult? Because I'm always under the impression that once CIA, always CIA. So it's very, very difficult to speak out against the CIA because it's very hard to state anything because they have, I think, total control. And when I say CIA, it's part of the intelligence apparatus. The entire intelligence apparatus has in control in this country. Do you feel that way? That they have control?
I mean, there are the national security bureaucracy, the national security state, unfortunately, has grown in significant power, influence after 9/11. We're talking about billions, trillions of dollars have gone into this incredible institution through private contracting, technology, so forth.
Government agencies like Homeland Security that developed right after, like that?
There's Homeland Security. There's the Directorate of National Intelligence. There's the expansion of the CIA grew exponentially. But not just CIA, but, you know, you're talking about the National Security Agency.
Yes.
The National Geospatial Agency. And there are, I believe, 17 intelligence community members under the Director of National Intelligence. I mean, you've got intelligence operations in the Army, in the Department of Defense.
Right.
You even have the Department of Energy. There may be elements in the Department of Commerce and so forth. Yes, it has grown significantly. And I can read you a quote here. Tom Devine, a legal expert on whistleblower matters, testified in Congress on December 9, 2014, stating, "The government is being transformed from the rule of law to a national security spoil system." This was in reference to demands of exemption from laws governing certain government operations claiming to do so to guard U.S. national security, but in reality to shield state secrets unlawfully.
We're going to come right back on that note a little bit more with Pedro Orta. Be right back. The Broken Whistle is the book that comes out next month. Be right back.
Do I have to eat this?
Oh, honey, it's great protein. Don't be picky. Eat your crickets.
Many are following the lead of the United Nations to replace your meat diet with an insect diet. It's an all-out war on meat, farmers, and ranchers. Don't let new green policies place controls on your life and overall freedoms. It's time to get us out of the UN. Go to JBS.org or call 800-JBS-USA1.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hey, Interesting day. So I have Pedro Horta with me, and he was with the CIA for 18 years. He's speaking out about the CIA. And make sure that you go to Birch Gold 989898 and text my name, Kate. New information out. You can even go to Birch Gold and find out some things they were talking about with Davos. Are they going to use your money, your IRAs, and your retirement to bail themselves out? I'm pretty sure you can answer that question for yourself. make sure whatever you have is backed by gold, and you can do it for free. It's not going to cost you anything. Do it. My gosh, what are you waiting for? Text 989898 and text my name, Kate. Pedro, are you with us?
I am here.
Excellent. Kate. Okay, we had some interference on the break. So if the NSA is listening, hi, guys. Maybe you'll learn something. Hang out for a while. So it happens a lot on the show. And let me say this. The book is The Broken Whistle. It's about to come out in a month. And Pedro is speaking out. And of course, my big question for you really is, what do you want to disclose about what they're doing? And because obviously, as a whistleblower, you're here to talk about what do you want people to understand about the power of the CIA and about what they're doing behind the scenes, Pedro Horta?
Well, the main thing I want to do in this book, which I have done, is we need to be credible. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we cite our sources.
Yes.
That we try to avoid all the conspiratorial nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep mine very specific to the broken whistle. The element of intelligence community whistleblowing is broken. And I let the reader know through a lot of showing how this process is broken as far as what I witnessed myself. What I witnessed was a bureaucracy hell-bent on covering up and protecting itself from anyone who would dare expose them from any violations of law, any embarrassment, as I witnessed in a war zone what I went through. And I also talk about, write about, other whistleblowers who came forward against the CIA and their journey of reprisals. Mm. The book stays on point, highlighting that although you have a lot of rhetoric out there saying that intelligence community whistleblowing works,
mm-hmm.
in reality, it does not work.
Right.
And here's why it doesn't work. If you dare to speak up, you're going to be retaliated against, and the IGs, inspector generals, are not there to help you. They're there to cover up for these agencies. Other offices, other elements within the intelligence community are also not going to necessarily help you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even count on Congress to step up and help you.
Yeah.
But then you have this anomaly, the Ukraine whistleblower, the telephone call, the allegations that Trump made, some violations of law in that conversation with Zelensky,
mm-hmm.
and an intelligence community whistleblower made some disclosures. But the reality is that if you look at the letter of the law, those were not intelligence community disclosures. They did not, according to the Department of Justice, Office of Legal Counsel. They said that it was outside the scope of the DNI's authorities, or for that matter, anything related to intelligence funding. So he was not an intelligence community whistleblower. But despite the fact, he received status, attention, protection. Congress jumped on it to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Political pundits, same thing. But the real whistleblowers who have come forward in one capacity or another, whether known or unknown, never really receive help. The bureaucracy basically seeks to destroy you if you speak out. And sadly, the problem has not been fixed. And I don't see this problem being fixed anytime soon. And I'm hoping that by writing this book, that people in Congress and leaders who have the power and the influence to do so can fix these mechanisms. Or else you could see more 9/11s or more catastrophic intelligence failures that are cited in the book. Like there was one particular case of another whistleblower by the name of John Reedy.
Mm-hmm.
According to multiple press reports, he spoke up. And in his case, it was something so serious that eventually it cost possibly dozens of lives. Mm-hmm. But instead of fixing the problem, they took reprisals against him. And 10 years later, plus, he's still involved in litigation trying to resolve his case.
Wow. Do you want to come back with me? Do you want to come back with me for a few minutes after this break?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Be right back. More with Pedro Horta, The Broken Whistle, brokenwhistlebook.com. Be right back.
Have you ever heard someone say, the system's broken? Sure you have. Well, it's not true. America's founders created a brilliant governing system that prevents us from having kings, queens, dictators, and even czars. We the people can replace every elected official in a span of 6 years if we so choose. Here at the John Birch Society, we believe the only way to liberty, prosperity, and national sovereignty is not only understand what's in our founding documents, but demand that every elected official adheres to them. The reason we have a ballooning, reckless, and corrupt government is because elected officials aren't following the Constitution. The John Birch Society is principled, coordinated, effective activism. We believe the Constitution is the solution. Join JBS and change America. Visit JBS.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1 to get involved. That's JBS.org.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Get over to Balance of Nature. Get healthy. It's time to get healthy. It is one thing you have control over, is your health. Might as well utilize that option, right? It's a money-back guarantee. In about 10 days, you'll feel the difference. Balanceofnature.com. 31 fruits and vegetables a day. And I know you're not going to eat that. So that's like a truckload. So I know you're not going to eat that. So please, please, Balance of Nature. You must be taking a food supplement. And no matter what one you choose, I would heavily look at Balance of Nature, okay? Balanceofnature.com. Kate is the promo code. Gives you 35% off and free shipping. Also, activatefiq.com. ActivateFIQ.com. That's where I get whole C, copper, magnesium, and I take those and doing great. So just telling you, it matters where you get your supplements from. There's only a few companies I trust. ActivateFIQ is one of them. All right. Pedro Horta is with me for a few more minutes. And my question for you, Pedro, the book is The Broken Whistle. It's brokenwhistlebook.com. Brokenwhistlebook.com. You can also get it on Amazon starting in February. And February 19th, and then President's Day. And also, were you shocked at the job? I mean, I know that you were intrigued by the position you got in. Was the job shocking to you at the CIA? Were you sort of like, wow, I didn't realize I was getting myself into this? Or you generally liked what you were doing? How what was your thought and feeling about the job itself, since it's so clandestine? We don't really know a whole lot about what people do.
I mean, one way to see it is looking at a coin. It's got two sides.
Uh-huh.
On one side of the coin, when we were allowed to do our work, it was like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, we're having impact. We're changing nations for the good. We actually did. In many ways, I was working in one country, which in the book I call Carmenia, because I had to give it a fictitious name, where we were doing basically some significant work improving the security of the country. So when we were allowed to do our work, it was like, wow, yeah, wonderful, great. But then on the other side of the equation, the other side of the coin, the shocking thing, the wowing thing was like when the bureaucracy goes rogue, when you have some really serious toxic management, operations could go to a grinding halt. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens or lives are put at risk. And at times, people's lives are lost over just nonsense. There's two sides again. Wow, yeah, this is great, but at the same time, it's, my goodness, what did I get myself into? It's like, what are we doing here?
Were you told as you were working that when you were part of the real club up the ladder, that then you would finally kind of understand some of the things you were doing, that that there was always that carrot out, that once you got to a certain place within the organization, then you would fully understand the whole picture?
I mean, my very beginning, entrance on duty, I remember one officer said, you will have many opportunities in your career to make a decision that's going to help your career to move up the ladder, or to make a decision that's going to be for the good of the country. And he was right. As I worked moving up the ladder, shall we say, I found that, you know, it became tougher to move up the ladder if you did not make decisions and do things that would help the organization first and foremost, sometimes above national security. The people that succeed at the CIA as far as moving up the ladder, becoming senior executives, tended to be very conservative from a perspective of not taking risks, not being willing to be at the tipping end of the spear, and trying to be very creative to get things done. If you were basically just doing your job without ruffling any feathers, getting anybody upset, not asking the tough questions, you had a better chance of succeeding. If not, you had a chance of basically stepping on toes, making somebody angry, and potentially just being passed for promotion and eventually being forced out, or you basically retire in place.
Did you ever question whether or not it's ethical to have a CIA?
I saw a lot of good. And when they stay within the realm of doing good, I can tell you that we had impact in helping the security of the United States and other countries. But then on the other end, you go back to the 60s, the 70s, and a lot of things came out with the Church Committee where, yes, we had a rogue CIA doing a lot of things they shouldn't have been doing. The reality is that post-Church Committee, 1975, some mechanisms of accountability were started. The House Permanent Select Committee of Intelligence and the Senate Select Committee of Intelligence. If the SSCI and the HPSI are doing their job, they can rein in the CIA and keep the CIA focused on what they're supposed to be doing. But unfortunately, we have had basically a degradation of oversight. Yeah. And consequently, that has had a negative impact.
Do you feel the CIA runs the White House?
The power of the CIA does not necessarily run the White House, but they have so much power that the president may not always know everything that the CIA is doing or the intelligence community is doing. Technically, they're supposed to know everything, but do they? The reality is they don't. I've seen examples of basically the intelligence community not being truthful to Congress, letting them know all the details. That's another issue, and that's another problem. But it's not just the CIA. That goes on with FBI, Department of Homeland Security, any government department. The government has gotten too big, and that's really the root cause. The size of the government has become so big that it's almost unmanageable. And it goes back to the division of power, executive, legislature, judiciary. It really, congressional oversight has been lacking. You have a lot of congressional theater, political theater, showmanship, grandstanding. You have a lot of hearings, but no action. Biggest example is they just reauthorized the FISA powers for the intelligence community to be able to do signals intelligence, knowing very well that they abused those powers to target political opponents. But yet Congress continues to allow the executive branch to basically overexert their powers without reining those powers in.
Once inside the organization, did people that you work with in the CIA start to question the role of the CIA? Were there people inside that were questioning as much as you were?
There are people that really question just the power of the bureaucracy and the willingness of the bureaucracy to become more important than the mission, where the organization becomes more important than really the mission of the organization.
Right.
So, yes.
I would imagine. I would imagine that some people might go in with a totally different idea of what they might be doing, too. The book is brokenwhistlebook.com. The Broken Whistle comes out in a month. And talking about in more detail what we addressed today. So I'll be very interested. I haven't read it yet, so I'll be very interested in picking this book up. And I really appreciate you, Pedro, for coming on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
You bet.
Pleasure.
You bet. Thank you. And of course, thank you, Pedro. We'll also take your calls. And when I come back, of course, and I know you probably have a lot to comment on what we've addressed today on the show, because there's been a lot of things said. So whether it's Disease X, or as the WHO guy says, Dizzes, or it is Trump, or it is whatever the topic, or this, the CIA. Very intriguing topic, the CIA. And I might even play a clip from John Stockwell as well. Be right back. He was CIA too. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Are you fed up with where our nation is headed? Here at the John Birch Society, we know how to fix a reckless, corrupt, and out-of-control government. It starts with patriots like you. We believe the only way to liberty and national sovereignty is to not only understand what's in our founding documents, but demand that every elected official adhere to them. The Constitution is America's only solution. Join the John Birch Society today. Visit us at jbs.org.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. You know I'm going to take your calls. Pedro Orta, The Broken Whistle. Yeah, the book was vetted. I asked him. It always is when you're working for the CIA. Lots of secrets in the CIA. Why do they have to have so many secrets? But yes, they do vet the books and clear the books. Of course, I'm sure they redact. Then they allow you to publish. So there's that. Today is the day for the natural asset company, the NAC, the selling out of our country piece by piece. I doubt any of your representation, whether it be in Congress or the Senate, has spoken a word about it. Very silent on the matter from these patriots, right, in office. That's because DC is a vat of disgusting hooligans who thwart this country at every turn and give you a lot of lines about how much they love it. Here's a question for you. We get people into office that have military backgrounds an awful lot in this country. When has that ever served us in the restoral of liberty ever? A lot of military backgrounds are pushed on you. So why hasn't it ever worked as a result of something decent and good coming from the restoral of liberty? So many people want to use the military to get into office, and yet they just always vote for the NSA. They always, you don't hear a peep from them on any kind of really important matter. I just always find that a little interesting, to tell you the truth. A little interesting. I feel like they use it a lot. I had a congressman that used it at every turn. He was horrific. 10 years of horrific. 10 years of voting NSA spying. So there's that. And no one's speaking up about the NAC's natural asset companies ever. You're not going to hear anybody do it, because it actually hurts our country. And so they won't speak up to let any of you know that today's the deadline for that, that we have a 2-week, it's kind of like the 2 weeks after public comment rebuttal period. And then, of course, our country goes to the highest bidder if it goes through, the SEC. The SEC is going to put in natural asset companies. Our public lands will be sold to the highest foreign country bidder and managed and managed for us to be able to not do anything to them. Here is a John Stockwell. He was with the CIA. Here is a quote from John Stockwell talking about Team A, Team B. Here you go.
In terms of their interests, that's the A team. But they always have the B team that they can run out. A Jimmy Carter when Richard Nixon makes the nation too angry, or the nation gets too riled at the Vietnam War or something like that. This is where they produced Michael Dukakis. He's a team player to the establishment. In order to be accepted as a presidential candidate, he did homage to the arms race.
And that goes for, so this, he was speaking out actually in the 80s. I think he's still alive to this day, John Stockwell. But he also talked about the club, and he was always held out a carrot that once you would understand what you were doing, even if what you were doing was wrong, you would find out the whole picture, and then you would know it was right once you climbed the ladder of the CIA. And then as he kept going up the ladder, then he realized that, oh, wow, there was never really an explanation. It was just doing wrong things. It was just horrible atrocities, and never really figured out why he was doing what he was doing. So he was speaking out to whatever degree he can. So it's heavily vetted, heavily monitored. Once CIA, usually always CIA. And I still believe that to this day. But it was interesting, Team A, Team B. Once Nixon makes the country too angry, what they don't tell you is that the CIA took over in Nixon's presidency, and that it was payback to Nixon to humiliate him on something that was absolutely stupid, because they had been spying and doing all these things before. But they wanted it to look like a big deal, Watergate, and they made it into a big deal, and they wanted to humiliate him. Part of that reason was because he took Alger Hiss to task, and it was part of a way to get back at him. And then also, the Team A, Team B thing, you'll see that through history. They put Team A, then Team B, because they control both teams, Democrat and Republican. That's why we get both sides in office doing the same agendas, because they control both sides. So once they start to see the nation get a little restless, then they put back their other team, and it's all controlled. That's the point of that clip. It's all controlled. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, it's absolutely all control. Nixon was a communist. He outright carried out more communism than just about anybody. Wage and price control is communism. The EPA, all its unconstitutional actions and so forth, and the advancement of Red China. But anyway, I want to talk about your guest.
You've only got about a minute, make it fast.
The Chevron, and I'd like to talk about Trump.
You got to make it really fast, caller, because I only have about a minute. Go right ahead.
He was using a pretend criticism, weak criticism of the CIA. Oh, there's some cover-up. It's basically a protective bureau. He's not talking about, it sounds like it's so benign. He's not talking about the murders, the instigation and facilitation of wars where hundreds of thousands are killed, illegal wars, the contracting of torturing of many around the world. Also, the spying on us. They have no authority to be doing anything domestically, but they control public publishing houses in America and so forth.
I'm with you.
Here's
two
questions I have for him. One is, where is the constitutional authority for the CIA?
There is none.
Existing?
There is none.
Intelligence should be under the military. And the second one, he took an oath to God to abide by the Constitution, and yet they're facilitating wars that are illegal. There's no declaration.
No, amen to that. And that's why I asked him the question, should the CIA exist? Because most people in the CIA think it should. But of course. But as an American, I think that if you really look at the Constitution, if you look at what we're all about, it should never exist. There should never be a group with CIA. And what have they actually done in foreign? And I don't know if people were catching that, but it was, we're improving security in other nations when I know it's regime change in other nations. I mean, what gives us the right to regime change? Now, you could say, well, Kate, that sounds very Democrat. There's a lot of Democrats that speak out about that. Republicans should be speaking out about that, too. We should not want regime change. And to conduct those types of things, but lots of things are done like that, and it's not okay. Hi, caller, you've only got 30 seconds.
Yeah, you have no idea what you're dipping into with the CIA right here in the middle of it in Utah.
Yeah, that's so true.
People.
I agree. Listen, we're going to run short on time because we have to go to the end of the show right now. But I love the callers. Thank you so much. Look, we've got a lot wrong with this country that we've got to fix. But first, it's going to be where we figure out the truth about what's going on. Lots of good feedback yesterday from my history lesson on InfoWars. But and I'll give that on this show, too. So we have it on this show as well. But just so much out there that we need to correct. But we have to be able to see what we're dealing with. And that's one of the hardest things is get us to see it. Okay, the CIA has no role that's constitutional at all. Okay, we should be seeking to abolish the CIA. And when you do that, you get off. Look at Kennedy. That was one of the things he wanted to abolish, one of them. And they do. They set that into motion. And big, clear warning. Be faithful, be fearless. And, of course, see you back here tomorrow. I have a remote viewer coming on tomorrow. That's going to be very, very interesting. So I'll see you back here tomorrow.